So sometimes the most interesting detail in a story is what's not said. And there is one such detail that is not said in this morning's gospel story, in which Jesus and his newly minted disciples head off to Simon's house following their time at the synagogue. Here's what we know. When they get there, they discover that Simon's mother-in-law has been in bed sick with a fever. They told Jesus about her, the gospel says, at once. Something has to be done, and Jesus can do it, and hopefully it can be done right now. But here's the detail that's not shared. We don't know exactly what it is they said about her. Given that Jesus heals the woman and afterwards she just stands up and starts serving a meal, some people have assumed that Simon said something to Jesus like, "Listen, man, could you help out here? My old lady's mama is down with the flu, and we need her back up again because she fries fish like nobody's business. We just saw you cast out a demon in the synagogue. We know you can do this." Frankly, I've never read that story in a women's group where they think, yeah, that sounds like a great thing. You heal the lady and she gets right back up and starts cooking. We don't like that. But maybe that's not exactly how it happened. Because the truth is there are many, many ways to talk about someone, especially when they're ill. So maybe when they told Jesus about her, they just used facts. Say the way medical charts speak about us. Jesus, it started yesterday around 3 p.m. with chills and a headache. She has had no food or drink since noon, and the wife reports hallucinations through the night. Or maybe they focused on her moral character. Jesus, she just doesn't deserve this kind of thing. She's the kindest person. She is so generous. She's so good with the grandchildren. She's looked out for others all her life. If there was ever anyone who didn't deserve to be in bed with a fever, it's her. Or maybe they were concerned because they knew that Simon's mother-in-law was just the type to get up and start serving others, whether she was sick or not. And they were concerned that she would wear herself out in the process. I have a good friend whose father fits this kind of type exactly. She'll always say, you know, he's an Italian and he loves family and cooking and eating, but he's got two slipped discs and on normal days he can barely move. But if the cousins are coming over, you'd better believe he's going to be in the kitchen and he will not let us help with anything. And it's ravioli and pork loin and homemade sauce and cannoli. He makes it all himself. Of course, his back will be shot for the next 10 days and we'll have to do absolutely everything for him then, but you can't keep him down. Maybe Simon's mother-in-law was like that. And that's why Simon said, Jesus, you have to do something. Once she hears us all here, she's going to be up anyway. And the least you can do is to make sure that if she's up, she's well. Or maybe, as so often happens, when the fever is intense and the outcome uncertain, maybe they just went to Jesus and prayed to him out of their fear. Lord, something terrible has happened while we were away in the synagogue. Here she is, Lord. Help her. Take care of her. Be with her. Show her your healing, Lord. We're scared, Lord. Help us too. There's always a danger in talking about someone, especially when they're ill. What we say when we talk about someone often says just as much about us as it does about the person who's sick. Our words can reveal our discomforts, our fears, our thoughts, our relationships. They reveal as much about that as they can reveal about something about the person who's sick. Sometimes what we say about someone in their illness is helpful. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's geared toward their well-being and comes from a place of grace and support and healing. But sometimes our own words about someone else reveal our own brokenness and judgment about what people do and do not deserve. One thing that I've learned over time in Christian communities is that the line between sharing a genuine prayer request and gossiping about somebody else's personal health situation can often be hard to discern. And wise congregations, and I've been pleased to see in this congregation we have a very wise prayer ministry, wise congregations will pay attention and offer space for that discernment in deciding what to share and how to share it. Grace and sin can mingle in our hearts. It's part of our human condition when we talk about someone. But talking about someone with Jesus is a different set of things, different set of conditions altogether. Talking about someone with Jesus is prayer. And prayer can be straight talk with God, and prayer changes the equation entirely. Because before God, there are not situations to be judged or gossip to pass on. There are only people to be loved and commended to the source of mercy and grace. When we pray for someone, we're dealing with God, and God is able to deal gently both with them and with us, and deals with us directly. And that's the powerful aspect of prayer ministry within a Christian community. When it directs the people for whom we're praying directly to the source of mercy and grace, we too stay connected to that very source of grace and mercy and are able to, much more easily, I believe, pass on that grace and mercy to others. Look at what Jesus does in this story. He doesn't rely only on what the disciples tell him about Simon's mother-in-law. Instead, he goes directly to her. He takes her by the hand and he lifts her up. We know from other stories about Jesus' healing that he would not have had to do it that way. In other stories, it's sometimes just enough for him to say a word, sometimes even from several houses away, and the person's healed. But in this story, the disciples tell him about her and he goes to see for himself. In lifting her up, he performs the same action that he himself will experience in the grave on Easter Sunday. He raises her, resurrects her, you might say, restores her humanity as a person within a community. And wherever and whenever that happens, whenever someone who is sick is lifted up, whenever they sense that their sense of humanity has been restored, even if there is no cure, well, then there is, in fact, a sense of healing, as Jesus means it. Yes, the mother-in-law's fever left her. Yes, she was able to get up and serve. But I wonder if the real miracle that day was in the way that he dealt with her, restoring her to a place within the household, not as someone who was talked about, but as someone who could speak for herself, no doubt. I wonder if the real miracle is that Jesus restored her humanity as someone to be loved and touched. And I wonder whether this may be just the way that Jesus works in our lives, bringing us wholeness here and now. There's a lot about the experience of illness that can make us feel dehumanized and objectified. Part of the experience people tell me about being in the hospital is that you feel charted about, poked, prodded, scanned, aided, and assisted. Talked about. But to Jesus, people are people, whatever their circumstances. And wherever genuine love is shown, wherever a kind word breaks in, wherever the reminder comes that you are you, no matter what. Whenever someone goes above and beyond just before us, well, that's God's grace breaking in. And that's Jesus using the hands and feet of that person who deals with us directly, who helps us remember who we truly are. That is to say, human beings who are loved and cherished by God, even when we have our fevers. Amen.